welcome to Bageltech F1, the season finale, the very last show. It's been a wonderful season, but it's all over. There we go. Lamenting the passing of a fantastic season, I've got a full grid with me, as Tony tweeted out earlier on. Top left, we've got Mr. Steve Neighbour. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, good. Not too bad. Not too bad at all.
I've got bottom lip on, mate. It's all sad, isn't it? We won't be getting to do this till March now.
I know.
Yeah, it's sad. I had to go to McDonald's halfway through the race. I had to put it on pause.
Live pause and hope the kids didn't get the control.
Yeah, if you want to know about any calories in McDonald's items, then and ask me. I can recite them all. That's my entertainment.
Aren't the burgers pretty good?
Burgers are not too bad.
The
fries, you can have them if you can't have gluten. Everything else has got
gluten. Well, it's because they've got frigging potato in them and no bread.
Oh, no, they normally put them in flour.
You can't have a chip sandwich. But you can have a chip.
Welcome to Bageltech Fast Food.
Yeah, no, it's good. I watched the rest of the race tonight as well. So, I'm all up on the race.
Excellent. Next to him, we've got Mr. Tony Blunt from Nottingham, aka London band traveller today. But how's it going?
Yeah, all good.
Now, you were complaining about the F1 tyres in the game, mate, not being realistic.
Yeah.
Talk us through the last F1 car you drove then.
On the game, it was the Williams, funnily enough. Beating Barrichello's ass.
Gids.
But I could do faster laps on the harder tyre.
No, where were you at?
Turkey.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know where we're at.
I got a theory on the fast laps, but we'll have to talk about that later. Beneath him, we got Sarah Jane. How you doing, Mrs.?
I'm very well, thank you. I haven't been called Sarah Jane in a long time.
I called you Sarah Jane for ages, haven't I?
Whatever.
Okay. The passing of F1 for the season. Yeah, good season, do you think?
It was a good, excellent season. As long as you don't mind Vettel winning lots and lots and lots, but Jensen did enough to keep me happy, so that's...
Well, you keep that to yourself, mate.
Yeah, actually,
that's another podcast.
Shouldn't quite have put it like that, but you know what I'm saying.
I was shooting a function on Saturday night, and two women came up to me and said, could you do me and my friend? And I said, well, I need to finish taking the pictures first.
Did they laugh?
Potentially.
Or did you get a slap?
No, they laughed. Yeah, it's fine. It's okay. And last but by no means least, Mr. Christopher Woods. How's it going, pal?
Hello, sir. Bringing up the grid, as usual.
Ah, good man. 24th on the grid.
Yeah, plus
just
10 laps.
Just fourth.
Feels like it.
How's your mad caller? Been around today or not?
my lady caller. She hasn't shown her face yet, although, we're all awaiting her rearrival. I hear someone now.
Does she know you're going to do her with a baseball bat?
Yes, I'm gonna school her with a 2x4.
Good man, good man.
Mm.
That's obscene, and Ewan. I don't think so.
Possibly some bleach.
Some bleach? Yeah. Oh no, steady on, mate.
And if she's really lucky, combined with some boiling water.
Have you got archers in the arrow slits on the castellations?
Just got some burning oil, you know. I'm gonna get medieval
exactly.
on her.
Get her in the port colours. Then she'll know what's hit her.
Never disturb a medieval fight reenacting angry tea drinker, because you'll get all of those things thrown at you.
Just get the pepper spray out, you'll be all right.
Ooh, one in the eye. Right, the Brazilian Grand Prix, last one of the season, swapped around with Abu Dhabi to make a big finish. And we finished in the sun, which was nice, I thought. Aye. There's a message popped up and gone. I thought that was her. She's got in your Skype line, mate.
Oh, no.
Good race, bad race?
It was all right.
Yeah, overall?
Good race, yeah.
It's always nice to watch. I always like seeing them race around Brazil.
It wasn't classic by Brazil standards, but it was still a good one.
I think some good moments. I think Brazil's kind of... I like the fact that Brazil's got those changes in elevation, you know, real big changes of elevation. There's one other track that I really like, which is strange because it's on an American circuit, Laguna Seca, and that's all because of the huge changes in elevation. You go down into, you know, drop 20 or 30 feet down, and then you're into a hairpin at the bottom with no traction and that kind of stuff. It's
the corkscrew. Yeah.
Superb. But Laguna Seca is very much like that. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, well, the only thing that felt a little forced was the DRS. I don't actually think they need a DRS.
Hmm.
It didn't really work, did it?
The track lends itself to overtaking anyway, and overtakes happen, but it was like, you know.
Well, as a season, apparently there's been over 1,000 on-track passes.
Yeah, probably half of them are Jensen, aren't they?
Yeah.
I don't think so. 500 would mean he wouldn't be second in the Drivers' Championship, would he?
He did an awful lot in Canada.
Well, it's just like every time he goes past and then someone passes him, like you...
I'm sure there was a list and he was, you know, like first or second in the, you know, just number of passes.
Yeah.
Yeah, five races ago he was the most overtakes. Competitive overtakes.
Hamilton must have been pretty close up there as well. He'd had plenty of goes, at least.
Attempted overtakes.
Those people who attempt to pass and emerge from it with a full car, he was way down on that list. Mm. But there you go.
You see, he's made it up with Felipe.
Well, they're kissing now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there was a picture of the hug.
He did call him Felipe, wasn't it? Mm, he did call him Felipe in one of the interviews. But it was interesting that the Naughty Boy Award from the BBC went to him and Felipe.
Yes, but did you notice? And I did, it wasn't me that noticed this; it was my housemate that pointed out that when they gave it to Lewis Hamilton, they mentioned. For the instance with Felipe Massa, but when they gave it the award to Felipe, they didn't say anything about Lewis.
No, that's true.
They didn't want to slap, that's why.
I was really disappointed as well when Lewis's gearbox went in the middle of the race. It was just warming up for another confrontation, wasn't it? Right behind him, here we go.
And then boom. And it was the second time as well, because it's
gone.
Because he was before the pits, wasn't he, as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Paddock Wow thing, Eddie Jordan's shirts, 107,000 for children in need. That was pretty special, wasn't it?
That was amazing.
And they showed the whole list of his shirts, which was quite phenomenal. I thought they were quite tasteful.
It was eyeball damaging, that.
Yeah, they did give you a warning beforehand, like most BBC do for all sorts of other things.
And 2.3 seconds for Mercedes for a pit stop in Korea. That's quite impressive, isn't it?
They must have just brushed the tyres and then set them off again.
It would take you longer than that, wouldn't it? Just to put a bit of Mr. Sheen on or something.
Yeah. Just stuck a new stamp on the side and just up again.
At least they managed to keep them on the car, unlike Virgin.
Yes. I was going to do, when we did Only Their Mother, I was going to do Charlie Chaplin and Timo Glock, but... with the tyre coming off, but
the man that gave the title to Lewis Hamilton in 2008 at this very track.
Mm.
Can I tell you the fact that I learnt this week?
Please do, Mr. Neighbour.
And tell me if you knew this. Honestly, don't lie. Don't try and wind me up. And did you know? You know Eddie Jordan in shirts and his fashion sense for that.
Right.
Did you know about his wig?
Eddie Jordan, be careful here. Make sure there's no libel in this, please.
We are talking on his head, aren't we?
No, I believe he had a medical condition that he has and has to wear a wig. I didn't know it. Is that a well-known fact or is that not? It's true.
Well, it's interesting.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Start everything in this conversation with allegedly, please. Actually, now I've just typed in Eddie Jordan.
There wasn't an issue.
It's number three on Google.
Well, I've just typed in Eddie Jordan and it's the first option that's come up in the auto search is Eddie Jordan wig.
Is that somebody's designed a wig like his hair or...
No. He has a medical condition that requires...
alopecia.
No, it's not alopecia, not with a great face of hair like he's got.
Could be a wig as well. Stuck on. Comedy tash, you never know.
So, Eddie himself reported to the Metro a while back, when I was very young, I had a very serious accident. I broke both legs and damaged a nerve. And I've got alopecia. It is alopecia.
Oh, right.
I thought alopecia was where you lost it all.
Yeah, me too.
I think it can be sort of selective areas. I'm not sure on that, but...
Right. Gail Porter's the famous one because she lost all her hair, but then some of it grew back again. And she was just... And a part alopecia.
This
girl goes to my local pub. She hasn't got any hair.
There you go.
Eddie Jordan doesn't, though. I didn't know. All credit to him, though. It's good.
I think that's a fake.
And wigs as well.
But apparently, he's not shy about it either. Yeah. He had an alopecia areata. It's a health condition in which the hair is lost from some or all areas of the body, usually from the scalp, because it causes bald spots on the scalp, especially in first stage. It's sometimes called spot baldness.
All right. I didn't know that either.
There you go.
More you know. Because knowing is half the battle.
Mr. Neighbour, you're a true oracle.
I didn't know that.
You did, because you told us.
Well, I found out because I went on Twitter, just typed Eddie Jordan, and it was all over Twitter, and I was trying to find out whether he was confirmed, because it was very, at the end of the race, it was very awkward, I thought, in terms of, I can't wait to work with David again, and David's going to be great to work with, and Eddie Jordan's just standing there like the lemon in the middle. And I just went on Twitter to find out if he was signed up anywhere yet.
I was going to say, has he got a seat?
He's got a wig.
And so is Eddie...
He seems to be the one they haven't sort of released any details for yet, because we know whether Jake, DC and Lee McKenzie are staying BBC. Brundle's going over to Sky.
Well, now apparently
Ledger's going over as well, apparently, from Five Live.
Well, apparently Brundle's been getting a bit of stick, hasn't he? From his followers on Twitter.
Yeah, he has.
He's added some nasty phrases being used. Traitor. What was the other one?
I don't know. I didn't see any
sellout.
I didn't see any of the attention that he got, but I did see that he's third tweet out or second tweet out about the news after he announced he was going. His reason for it was, I don't want to give 50% of my salary to the taxman. It was his second or third tweet about why he'd chosen to go with Sky. Obviously, they pay him differently to...
Yeah, BBC. That was a bit cryptic. I didn't completely understand that tweet.
Well, if he's earning over 150...
But I didn't necessarily read it as that. I didn't think it was that clear.
I thought I was a stupid
because there was something else about how he wanted to be, you know, doing all the commentary live rather than, you know, he couldn't have done it for a delayed broadcast or something.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, adrenaline fix. At the moment, if you've got a standard Sky subscription package and you upgrade to HD, you're going to get the F1 channel included on it, and you're also going to get £100 of M&S vouchers, which will offset the cost.
The tweet was, yes, money is better, but with deals I could have put around lower key BBC role plus 50% of my income going to the UK taxman, not the deciding factor. So I don't think that's particularly
Well, they paid him in stock options.
What?
They've either paid him in stock options or he's moved abroad with the amount of money that they're going to pay him.
Being a former racing driver, I'd be surprised if he lived in the UK. What? Actually, he does live in the UK. Well,
I think he's. I think he's domestic, isn't he? But we know from previous conversation that racing drivers set up their own companies and are then employed by their own company. And so when the teams pay the drivers, they're paying the driver's company.
Mm. Yeah.
So I would suspect Brundle has this company, which he's the sole employee of, and the money is held in the company, and he draws a salary.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Good point.
It's a good way of doing it.
Boom. Tax avoidance 101.
Vettel changed his... I never even noticed that Vettel changed his helmet all season.
Just stopped watching him.
Every other race? No, I just never noticed the helmet changes. That was the thing.
Yeah, I think it was Martin, particularly critical of that.
Mm.
Yeah, well, we thought Lewis had a lot of them, with the... what was it? The Bob Marley helmet and things like that.
Yeah, but at least he's still mostly yellow. I mean, Vettel's...
tribute to Senna this time.
Yeah, he's been everywhere, hasn't he?
I quite like Massa's helmet.
The gold one?
Yeah.
I thought it was a bit... You could see reflection. You could see where the stands were when they showed the cam with his helmet. You could see the reflection of the stands along as he was driving past them.
It was suitably tacky. It suited the occasion, I felt.
I think he was hoping it sort of reflect back in his mirror to anybody behind him.
Maybe so I can see Lewis coming from the left.
Tactical.
Yeah. Maybe there's something in that. Yeah, Lewis alongside him, possibly blinding him.
Have you got a golden helmet, Chris?
Well, I've got an American football one just to my left, which I'm about to paint.
Do you polish it?
Not regularly.
Oh dear.
To stop.
Moving on.
The show seems to be all about double entendres tonight.
Moving on. I thought phrase of the day was definitely Coulthard. This is going to be a classic GP. We're 10 minutes away from a huge rainstorm. 2 hours later. All you've got is dead flies on the camera.
During the race, there was this thing and they were mucking around and larking about and basically saying they weren't going to say the four-letter word.
Well, you looked at...
Do not mention the R word.
That was great. I mean, they showed you the pit camera, which was showing you periodically the team screens, and the team screens were showing great big blue blobs like this. Like it was... It looked like it was going to be the Wizard of Oz kind of storm, but nothing.
It was the same during quali as well. Right up until sort of about, with only about 5 minutes to go in Q3, that's when they realised there wasn't going to be any rain.
Mm.
Just after I came back from McDonald's and started watching the second section, I looked at the iPad and it told me that rain predicted in 15 minutes, 35 laps to go. I thought this is going to be a stunning second half of the race, but real disappointment about the rain.
You're posh, you are, neighbour.
Or lack of, yeah.
You're posh, you are, neighbour. You're the only person that I know can have an intermission in a live single event.
It's just showing off, isn't it?
That's kids for you.
Right, qualifying. Anything stand out in qualifying for anyone?
Not really.
It was pretty boring, wasn't it?
It was pretty boring.
making a big deal of Barrichello and Senna's qualifying, but...
Well, Barrichello was pretty crap, and his start wasn't much better either, was it?
Well, he qualified 12th, which wasn't bad, but I've never seen so many cars go past a driver at the start.
Was he 20th after the start or something like that?
I think
T1.
I counted seven cars went past him at the start.
Mm.
So I think at least he didn't want the only one to have a worse start than Schumacher or something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
But hey, at least he didn't go off at the first corner.
No.
Just saying.
Who went off? Did no one went off, did they? Did anyone go off?
No, it didn't
do a DC. Yeah.
No,
three retirements, I think.
Rosberg got fifth, which I thought was quite impressive. Head of Massa. Webber was 2 seconds off the pace on the fast lap at the first go. When Vettel posted his first fastest lap was the one that he qualified with, Webber wasn't within 2 seconds of that time. That's pretty impressive.
Mm.
In same car, different
but then,
driver.
And he paid for it later, didn't he?
Who the is Webber at that point?
I mean, I do think Vettel was seriously impressive in quick Q3.
No, he was great.
Really, really was.
And Sutil got 8th place.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Did they take the? Did Force India take the shootout though?
Sorry.
Did they do a top ten shootout for Q3?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was only Schumacher.
No, DiResta was in 11th, and Sutil was in the top 10.
Yeah, but because Force India have opted out of the shootout, haven't they? Once they qualified top 10.
Only Schumacher did that this time, but he did set sectors. I just think he didn't do the final sector or something.
Yeah,
right.
He didn't finish the lap.
Have a habit of doing that.
And Toro Rosso, 13th and 14th, they've had quite a good finish, haven't they?
Mm. Well, it's Al Jaswari for you.
Yeah,
he's one of my drivers of the year, definitely.
Right. Is he going to get a bigger car next year or has he signed up again?
I think he'll probably end up staying at Toro Rosso. They haven't said which drivers they're actually going to sign next year, like a lot of the middle and lower order teams. But I think he'll stay there.
Well, we might have to reconvene in 2 weeks' time and review
the driver market.
The driver market, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there was one announcement Sunday evening, wasn't there?
Mm.
Do tell.
Charles Pic was confirmed at Marussia.
Yes.
To replace D'Ambrosio.
Yes, even though the team principal...
The worst kept secret of the paddock.
Yeah, even though the team principal wouldn't confirm it on the red button. they knew it was going to be announced about half an hour later.
Is that the last time?
That would have been super awkward. Just basically out your driver as not racing next season on camera.
Yeah, I know. it did seem a bit ridiculous.
But everyone knew.
Because he was there as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Is Barrichello going to stay?
Oh,
someone's going to give him a drive.
According to
I'm not convinced they will.
I don't know. According to Mr. Jenkins, he said that Ruben said that they based the car on a rainy race with a long gear ratio, which is why he performed poorly in qualifying and then the race. Does that account for a slow start like that, though?
Well, he bogged down, didn't he?
Not sure.
Well, did you see the replay when they analysed it on the forum and they played it back to him again? And they had the T-bar camera and he did bog down as well.
He was saying about the revs dropping down, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then he was explaining when you bring the revs back up, you just spin the wheels because there's so much torque in first and then you can't keep up and everybody else is already on fourth gear. And he had to keep on backing out so he didn't lose his front wing. It's probably the sensible thing to do in hindsight. I mean, would you rather finish what could potentially be your last race ever at your home track and enjoy yourself? No doubt he enjoyed himself.
I'm sure.
He was keen enough to analyse the race, wasn't he? I mean, he was behaving like a man who's coming back next year.
Yeah, it was upbeat after the race, yeah.
I really do hope he does come back for another year.
Yeah.
Does anyone do sign language?
Go on.
What does this mean? For the people on the audio podcast, I'm holding my finger and going round
in the circle.
Round.
That usually means wind it on a bit, get a move on.
Yeah, well,
I saw that.
Did anyone see he was doing that motion towards the camera after the race at the end with his helmet on? So
we continue.
Translate that.
Yeah. Hmm. Someone's at my front door. Hang on.
Oh, it's the woman.
Say hello.
Maybe not. It's not.
Okay.
It's the other mad woman, as in my wife. Right.
She didn't hear you say that, Ewan.
Time for our usual feature, Only Their Mother. We've got to finish it off now. We've got to do the rest of the F1 field. I've had a long think about this. We were presented with a rather stunning option to begin this week with when Mr. Vettel for Movember turned up with a big orange moustache. Absolutely excellent.
I know, I saw that.
Let me guess.
I've got a horrible feeling. I think I know where you're going with this, but go on.
Right, who have we got then? Come on then. No? No guesses?
It just looks awfully familiar, that moustache.
Well, do you remember Wilf Lunn?
No.
Oh, Vision On. It was Tony Hart and some woman I'd never heard of before. But I remembered Wilf Lunn and I remembered his name as well. And I went and got a picture of Wilf Lunn. And it is like him, yeah. Wilf Lunn from Vision On. He was like a mad inventory type bloke.
I was even on his website last week.
Were you?
That program. I remember him.
The man's got a website and he sells his books and things on there. It's great.
The guy's got the same colour glasses as one of Vettel's visors, so...
I did think of Mike Harding as well, but I could have done with picking a picture where he hadn't gone grey, I suppose, really, with an orange moustache. But there you go.
Is that the programme from the 80s that had the sound of popcorn as the theme tune?
And more for Tony Hart.
Mm.
I don't know whether they were on Vision On or not, but Vision On was where you had the grasshopper that was actually the writing of Vision On, and it was mirrored into a grasshopper. It's very clever done. Yeah. Anyway, there we go. Next one I thought was Eddie Jordan. I managed to find this picture of him. And I thought he looked like Jonathan King.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes. In that picture, really good particularly. One. Yeah, not bad at all. But then I realised that the search for Jonathan and King actually turned up the alternative of, are you looking for Michael Jackson or Gary Glitter? And I don't want to tar Eddie Jordan with that because Eddie's awesome. So there you go. Yeah. We won't do that one. So what about Adrian Suttle then?
Are you just showing me a picture of Jonathan King in bed?
Yeah, there's a picture. That's Jonathan King with Samantha Fox, apparently.
Looks a bit like Seb Coe.
Now, there's a lot of stories about Samantha not fancying blokes. So I don't know whether that's true or not, but either the two of them were naked on a couch or some description because the camera never lies. So.
Yeah, no, she's a raving lesbian.
I don't know that. You don't know that either.
Allegedly.
Has she decided to tell the world that she is, Steve? Because otherwise that's alleged.
Yeah,
she was on Wife Swap, and her female friend swapped with, sorry, her female partner swapped with somebody else's wife. And the somebody else's wife was somebody like Edwina Curry.
Well, if she's outed herself as gay, then good luck to her. If she hasn't, and we've slandered her or libelled her unfairly, then I do apologise.
Allegedly.
Right, come on then. Adrian Sutil.
Seb Coe.
No. Don't think so, do you?
He does. He looks like Seb Coe there.
Really?
To me, anyway.
Okay.
No.
I don't get that, but okay.
Fine. You like that.
Well, as soon as I saw that, I thought to myself, what crap film about Grand Prix does that look like?
What, Casino Royale?
Sylvester Stallone in Driven.
Oh, God.
What an awful film that was. And then I thought, I'll find another picture. And look at, he's got the lip.
He looks like Alonso.
Thanks to Getty Images for letting me use that one. Oops. But
I always thought Stallone looked more like, he was sort of trying to look like a Lacey or someone in that film.
Yeah, actually, that's true, yes.
A Lacey, yeah, that would be
John
bad.
Lacey, definitely.
Definitely. But there you go. He's got the lip look. He's got the Sly Stallone lip. There's a few years, admittedly. That's not a Sly Stallone.
No, Adrian Sutil.
No, that's Sutil there. The one in the white hat is Sutil. I promise you.
Yeah, it's Roger Federer.
We
no, I got a picture of Roger Federer. It doesn't look like anything like him. There you go. And then I found a picture, look, of the cast. And who's that walking next to Sly Stallone? It's bloody Vettel.
It is Vettel, isn't it?
It's Vettel. It's prophetic, that film, as well as pathetic. There you go. And then I found another one as well. Look, there's another one of Sutil. And who does he look like? Djokovic. And that's the one. That is really just, that's twins.
Yeah, yeah. I get it.
That is absolutely twins. There you go. There's nothing funny about him at all. In fact, there's a whole load of them that look pretty similar. Black hair jobs. Bruno Senna? Who's he look like? Police Academy. Steve Guttenberg. That's what I reckon.
I don't see that one.
You don't see it?
Yeah, no. I can see it in the eyes.
And the smile.
I get the Djokovic Sutil one, but...
Right, okay. Next one, Christian Horner. F1 Red Bull boss.
Did you see the footage of the young him that was about at the weekend as well?
No.
Yeah, when he was talking about, being in F1, wasn't
it? Like racing himself.
Yeah, it's on the website as a little separate thing.
Right. I reckon that Christian Horner is actually a badly aged Christian Slater.
Oh, don't get me started on Christian Slater.
And why?
Oh.
Does he do it for you, girl?
He does, yes.
Oh, right, okay. So Christian Horner doesn't do it for you?
No.
But Christian Slater does?
Yes.
When they look absolutely identical?
No, they don't.
Nothing in it, is there?
There's nothing in that, come on.
I would say, in that picture, Christian Slater looks more like Jacques Villeneuve.
Yeah, all right, that's not bad. A bit serious,
you see
okay.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, okay, I'll get that.
Yeah, I can see that.
I get that. Right then.
Christian Horner's growing into an old headmaster, isn't he?
He is, most definitely.
Frank Williams.
Sir Frank Williams.
I wouldn't be disrespectful because I admire the guy.
No, I'm not being disrespectful.
Not Davros or something.
No, I think he looks like Pete Postlethwaite.
The big guy from the Monsters.
I think that's just a little too close to Pete Postlethwaite.
Yeah.
Not a million miles. I thought the bloke as well that used to be off Raising Ned.
There's a pop star.
The Irish guy, but I can't remember his name.
Oh, God, who's that? It reminds me of that picture of Frank Williams. I don't think who it is now.
We've got a fair few to get through yet. Hang on. I've got to do the whole rest of the F1 squad.
Oh, God.
Now then, who's that?
Justin Bieber.
That's Al Gashwari.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's Justin Bieber in the Red Bull.
No, it's Al Gashwari, I promise you. And I thought to myself, who does he look like? And I thought, actually, what he looks like is he looks like he's 10.
He does. Yeah.
But he's actually signed there and racing at that point. Here's another picture of him looking rather fresh-faced and young in a Red Bull top. That's Al Gashwari, I promise you. And then it struck me, who does he look like?
What, in that picture?
Joe DeMax.
Who, when he doesn't cut his hair, looks like Eddie Munster.
Our very own screen cap. Joe DeMax. There you go. From the Nonsense Show. Joe. Is he still in the chat room or not? Has he gone? No, he's gone. He's going to have to watch this back.
Don't worry.
Oh, git. And then there was another picture I found him. He looks a bit older there. Al Gashwari, right? That's definitely him, though. Who does he look like there? Christian Bale. Most definitely. Can you not see it?
Yeah.
He needs an axe.
A little bit.
He needs an axe, admittedly. But Christian Bale. We did have a reader sent one in.
That's why his suit's mainly black.
Could be. We did have a reader sent one in, and they said Lewis Hamilton... Based on personality, this is Mark. Lewis Hamilton, from based on personality, looked exactly like the Stig.
Oh.
I won't give you his surname because Lewis will find out where he lives because he's got the time now, he hasn't got a girlfriend. And last but by no means least, Mr. Rosberg. Who does Mr. Rosberg look like?
Not his father.
Well, he does, but that's a bit obvious, isn't it? I mean, it's not... God, blimey, you look like your dad. That's hilarious.
He looks like any of the guys from Aha. Yeah.
No, he looks like the bird out of Roxette. It's him. I'm telling you, I found that picture. I thought it must have been love. but it's over now.
That or a little bit like Britney Spears.
Oh, do you think Britney Spears? No. Anyway.
I think I see that more than the rock set.
Dolph Lundgren. No, I don't think so. Dolph, he's not
touring again.
Who's?
Rockset are touring again this
they
Christmas.
They are. Jolly good.
I don't think he's butch enough for Dolph Lundgren.
Not quite butch enough. Very effeminate, didn't he, unfortunately? Very pretty boy. Right, the race. Let's move on. We've done the Barrichello start. Massa beats Hamilton into T1. Gotta love that. If you're an anti-Hamilton fan, Tony, come on. Yeah. You must have loved Massa streaking past.
And the fact, you know, they were having they were really still getting close again, weren't they? You know, I mean, there were a lot of people going, oh, is this going to be round 17 or whatever it is of them too. They're going to crash again. It looked a certainty. It really did.
What's this you just posted, Chris?
Proof, sir.
Checked in Dubai receptionist was shocked when she saw passport Britney in my passport. No idea why. Oh, we've got to get this link. Oh, bugger. So this is his passport picture, is it?
Oh, the photo's in there.
It is?
Uh-huh. It was a while back. I was wondering if anybody would remember it. It is.
Well, I've got the
captivating for the audio listeners.
Oh, that's a fake.
but
it's a good one.
So someone slipped it into his stuff, and then when he rocks up at the
they've actually faked his passport.
Yeah, swapped it out, and without him realizing, and then he rocks up at check-in or you know customs, whatever.
That's a good wheeze.
Oh, those crazy Germans.
I think it's kind of illegal, but good on you. Someone will have to do only the mothers for all of us as well. Who can tell us apart? But I'm guessing which one mine is because I got mistaken for him at the Guildhall once. Mm. That's a different story though. We'll move on swiftly because it still certs. Mm. Right. Any highlights from the race then? We started off with the Barrichello and Massa pass. Schumacher hitting Senna, 10th lap. Any take on that?
I think that was the right decision.
You do? Why?
It was the second part of the move that, for me, was where Senna just sliced through Schumacher's tyre with that incident. It was, I don't know if it was absolutely blatant, but it certainly was the right decision.
Yeah, it was more out breaking himself, really, it seemed to be, didn't it?
Yeah, it almost looked like it. I don't want to say deliberate, but it certainly looked like it was he got past him and he thought, right, okay, I'll have him then.
I think it was the calmest Schumacher's been all season. He's had quite a rough season. At the beginning of it, he was really scaring people and kind of, you know, driving wheel to wheel, but this one, I think he was actually in the right.
Well, he finished last season off like that because there was the Barrichello incident, wasn't there, the last couple of races?
Yeah, which yeah. Barrichello still blatantly hates him for, you know, because he was talking about it over the weekend, wasn't he, on the BBC coverage. It's like, are you still friends?
Not really.
He tried to cover it up, wasn't he?
Yeah, I stubbed a cigar out in his eye once the other week. Yeah. No, I think... I mean, what's everyone else's take on it? Does anyone think it was the wrong decision to give him a penalty?
Well, it was harsh, but they made an example, didn't they? Yeah. I think they probably were a little stricter than normal because Senna is still relatively fresh in the car.
I think I would have given a reprimand, it's like a slap if on the wrist, anything, isn't it, really? On that.
Say again, Tone?
I think I would have given a reprimand rather than a full penalty for that.
I agree.
Hmm. They were saying though that the stewards have access to GPS data, which gives them exact track location.
Well, they can see everything, can't they?
And they would have compared where he'd been on that turn in previous outings, if you like. I mean, there's not exactly an awful lot to choose from, is there? But 10 laps. But they would have taken the data of where he'd been on the track, and then they would have overlaid it to see if he'd changed his position as Schumacher was trying to overtake and that kind of stuff. As to whether he'd taken what he considered to be the racing line. But I've got to say, when I saw it, I wrote a question down instantly on the notes that I made of you know, racing incident question mark.
Mm. I think it was. Yeah. It was a comparatively inexperienced driver, and then a very assertive Schumacher, and well, you know, just happened.
I think there's other things that have, you know, been sort of left, you know, without anything, you know, that were worse than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, it was. It wasn't until I saw the replay that I actually came to the conclusion I thought it was Senna's fault. Initially, I just thought it was a racing incident.
Weirdly, I was actually thinking Schumacher at first. You know, the first time I saw it, and then I saw a replay, and it was. I think it was a slightly different angle as well, and the onboard.
Steve, you've been very quiet. Was that because you were ordering a milkshake?
I don't.
Yeah, he's paused it to go off.
Keep on talking about that. The stewards have. How accurate is it? Because I thought GPS was only kind of...
They have mil-spec GPS. They can tell which side of the track they're on.
Yeah.
Down to like a meter. It's crazy.
But a meter isn't going to help in that type of incident, is it? I mean, it's not... It will a lot closer than... A meter is not close enough to measure really what the...
I would have thought that they will also take into account where the GPS is on the car, so they'll know exactly where that... each part of that car was during that incident.
Yeah.
It's not just that though, is it? Because they have real-time access to all the telemetry too, and they've got all of the cameras all of the time. So yeah. They obviously saw something which we didn't.
I was thinking it'd be more on the telemetry, you know, when he braked and, you know, how hard and, you know, when he took off the accelerator and so on.
Yeah.
He gave it another turn of the wheel.
I thought he stayed out right for a lot longer than it looked like for what most of the other drivers were doing.
Definitely. It's quite easy to overshoot the corner in the game. You can easily find that you've outdone yourself, and then all of a sudden you're running over the runoff. So.
Especially if you're running DRS.
But that's bearing in mind that when you're playing the game, you're not getting paid £25 million a year.
Well, there is that.
I mean, you expected a certain degree of accuracy with that, wouldn't you?
Do you get the right DRS in the game at the right point?
However it was going to be. They don't do in-season updates, unfortunately, unless it's a game fix. So you're stuck with whatever they were going to do.
But how accurate are the DRS zones?
Pretty accurate.
Oh, okay.
I've not got my virtual tape measure out, but...
I don't think there's any double DRS zones on any of them. Not that I've come across, anyway.
Well, because the DRS came in on turn two, didn't it, on this week in Brazil?
Mm. Yeah, and turn three.
Jolly good. Gearbox issue for Vettel.
And Hamilton.
Yay!
14.
Oh, here we go.
He's down.
Well, Naby, you're overcome with the bloodlust for Vettel.
But a rubbish season due to Vettel. If he wasn't there, it'd be an interesting season. You are Webber, Alonso, Button, and then that other guy who keeps crashing into Massa. And they would have had a proper race. I was excited when his gearbox went.
Well, now, call me a cynical old bastard, but I've got to say, when Vettel called in the fact that the pit crew called in that he got an issue with that, the first thought that I had was that this is bull.
Yes, Red Bull.
No. Very good. You'll be here all evening. Tip your waiter. The first thought I had was that it was bull to use him as a stopgap to get Webber out, to try and get Webber second place and at least giving him a shot at finishing second place in the Drivers' Championship.
Yeah, Martin actually said during the commentary that he'd had some tweets from people who were saying exactly that it was a scam.
Yeah.
He would have needed... who was it? Jensen and Alonso to not finish?
Yeah. But obviously it would have helped, and it puts Webber in the best possible chance, doesn't it?
Well, the interesting thing I thought in the finish was Alonso being passed by
Button
with 10 laps to go, and he loses out on third place to Webber by 1 point.
I know.
All he had to do was hold third position, and he would have beaten back Webber.
Not that I want to peddle a conspiracy further, but... Webber didn't look that chuffed, did he? When he finished,
nope.
He didn't look like a man had just won a race. He did look like he'd been they've handed it to me.
They gave it to him. Yeah.
There were patches of sort of. I think he said after the race, didn't he? Oh, I would have preferred to race, you know, wheel to wheel with Vettel.
You can just imagine if they all get down to the garage afterwards and everything's shushed and all the cameras are off and everything's disappeared and they all go surprise. And they show him the telemetry, and he really hadn't won it by himself.
Yeah. Well, what amused me was when they replayed the team radio after he'd crossed the finish line, and Horner's there going, "Congratulations, Mark, you've won the Brazilian Grand Prix." And he just goes,
Yep,
nice one, mate.
Yep, thanks.
No, not bad for a number two driver this time.
Yeah, it's not said, isn't it? As I think, was it Brundle that said that? But I did hear someone during the, was it, I think it was either the forum or post race, when they said Red Bull had a look inside Vettel's gearbox and there was literally no oil left.
Mm. So, really?
Yeah. So it had just drunk. Yeah,
someone independent.
Well, was charging around, sort of invading garages and things.
So someone independent had looked in and there was no oil in the gearbox.
Well, I suppose they could have taken it to scrutineering afterwards.
Oh, they wouldn't care, would they? They'd just say it was a faulty sensor if it was full of oil.
Wow. Well, what can we take from this? One of two things. One, Renault builds more reliable gearboxes.
We're all a bunch of cynical bastards.
Yeah. But then...
That's what you can take from it.
Weirdly, I was cynical when they were saying, oh, Lewis's gearbox is the same. It's like, but bottom of the head, so it didn't make any sense for that one to be the same, yeah. You know.
This is the problem, isn't it? You just don't know, because we all saw Red Bull were telling him to do stuff, and he was changing his engine modes because his wet light came on, which only happens if you change your gearbox program during the race to counter wheel spin. Yeah. So he was doing something.
Short shifting, yeah.
It's a lot of effort for a show, especially if your teammate knows what's going on, and they wouldn't have been penalised for team orders, so why bother hiding it? Especially if it's just going to piss your teammate off.
The other thing is that there were actually quite a few concerns about gearboxes. It wasn't just Hamilton as well. There were other talk. There was other teams talking about potential gearbox issues. Yeah. Even Button at one point they were concerned about. So I think it may be I don't know what with all the different things going on that maybe it was a bit of a gearbox breaker this week. And as somebody actually said, being the last race of the season,
I was going to say they only get a few, don't they?
So they were going to be sort of the last gearboxes and towards the end of their lives, yeah, anyway.
Is it like five gearboxes each
for the season?
For the whole season, yeah, or something, isn't it? Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's slightly understandable, I suppose.
Sarah, you've got robotic audio a little bit.
Have I?
Yeah. You're breaking up when you talk.
Oh.
I don't know if you've got something else going on there with the internet or whatever. Never mind. Interesting point, I thought, that David Coulthard made while they were talking about around that kind of period, around lap 15. And he was saying that when the comms cut in from the pits to you, he said there's a noticeable drop in the lap time on the lap that you're doing when the comms cut in from the pits, and saying the dropping of the concentration level. I know he took the mickey out of Brundle, because Brundle was saying, well, you don't do it if you're listening to Cliff Richard, do you, on the motorway? And he said, well, hang on, they are doing 70, you know, 70's the pit lane for these boys, or less. But it's that idea of you know, that little momentary break in concentration, and it can affect your lap times quite significantly. Is there anything that they can do going forward that's going to stop that happening? Find a way of communicating that's not going to take away from...
Hopefully not. I think when they talk to the pit is the best bit on the TV coverage. Yeah. It's really interesting.
And you've got to think they would have had the same problem when they had the boards hanging out from the pit, you know, and just that and no radio. Yeah, that would have been a distraction. Yes, you were going probably in a straight line, but you're still going to be looking over and looking ahead sort of at the same time.
Well, you get round the next lap faster, wouldn't you? Because you'd have to get back to see the board because you missed it. Oh, bugger, what did that say?
It's all part of strategy.
Well, the next service is 5 miles, yeah.
Can you imagine on the last
petrol before motorway.
Can you imagine on F1 video game if there was a little sub game that you could play, which was, what does the pit board say? And it's just
expletives. I just wonder with the radio where this is going to go, because I think we mentioned before, somebody came up with the idea, well, if they start using expletives, then he won't be able to broadcast them, so the other teams won't see the or hear the radio. Or they start using it where the whole thing's in code, so nobody can understand it, and it means absolutely nothing.
Magic buttons.
I think they were kind of being a bit more open, because it was, particularly with the gearboxes and stuff this time, because it was the last race of the season, didn't mean too much. They couldn't mean too much into it.
No development details or secrets to give away.
Exactly.
Seb, do you remember that code we had?
Could be like a sort of fighter pilot helmet style with a HUD, sort of. You know, this is your lap.
Right, Seb, Konami code.
Seb, go to Seb. Your gearbox is shagged.
we know that they can communicate at least one way without even needing to use the radio, and I would presume that they can use the HUD on the wheel to send status messages back. So they're only using the radio to broadcast and make.
They can use the wheel.
The HUD. Yeah,
well, they've got the set of lights, haven't they?
So heads up display.
It's like texting while they're driving along. You know, pressing the thing to go A B C D E F. No, I want that one.
This is like, yeah, I'm sorry, it's I was texting.
Bloody predictive.
Can you just imagine you go like they've got a Morse code button on there, and what was that? I think it said "Holy crap!"
I thought they just swear across on the radio so that it wasn't broadcast.
That's what we were saying.
Has he crashed? Well, telemetry shows him in the third row of the stands.
Shows with the ice cream truck.
Yeah. Would any of them say, I'm unconscious on that, on the...
Yes. I'm
what's
unconscious.
What's he saying? Vanilla or chocolate?
They could have Siri in their helmet, says Russ.
Oh. Pit for medium tyres.
Siri?
Did you mean pit for full wets?
Do I need an umbrella today?
Will it rain today?
Oh man. Daz says he reckons that DeResta tweeted out about his gearbox as well, though. He said he had trouble with his gearbox.
Yeah. Or if you're Hamilton, where's Massa?
Oh, that'd be brilliant. Siri supplied helmets. You are the weakest link. Right. Anything else in the race? I can't be bothered. Oh, intermediate. No, I want to talk about tyres, because they were saying that Jensen was doing really, really well on the hard compounds, and a lot of the others were doing well on the hard compounds, but Ferrari weren't. They were sticking with the softer compounds, thinking they were going to get more out of them. They got far less out of them. Has anyone got any theories as to why? Because I've got one.
Well, Jensen said he couldn't get on with the softer tyres anyway for the whole weekend. He'd been saying that. So, yeah. No great surprise there, really.
Hasn't he had that other weekends as well? Just where the soft, it went off too quickly for him, or it never really came in.
Mm.
Didn't Brundle make the point that the soft tyres you have to punish for a lap to bring in, then you can use them, then you cool them, then you do the same again, and that's not how Jensen drives.
They were doing that during quali, weren't they?
Yeah, and Jensen's just too smooth. Mm. So yeah, he was probably struggling with under temps, and he was fine on the hard tyres.
Jensen is the Barry White of tyre users. He loves.
You can go around all night long.
Oh, very good.
No, the theory I had was because they were at altitude, weren't they?
Yeah, 800.
Yes, 800.
So they got less downforce because of that anyway. But if you're at higher altitude, if you've got the same running pressure on the tyres, which a lot of them probably would have guessed at somewhere nearby the standard running pressures, that would make the tyres harder. So the hard tyres would be really hard, and the soft tyres would be probably just as hard as the hard tyres would be at sea level.
Why do they have more downforce at altitude?
Because there's less air.
That and it was quite warm. It was warmer than they were expecting, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I know, but also sort of tie in with the DRS not really having as much of an effect as
because there's less air.
Yeah, I think also Pirelli would have made allowances for that in the tyres.
I'm not so sure based on some of the arguments they've had with the team this year over simple stuff with the tyres shredding and things like that.
It's going to be interesting next year though, because they're making everything one grade softer.
Interesting. See, I think if you got a hard, if you got a soft tire, it relies on the tire being soft at the contact point with the road. And if your tire's effectively overinflated because of regional tire pressure change, because don't forget the tire pressure that you make it will be consistent on the gauge. It's only because of the atmospheric pressure that it would make it effectively harder. So it would reduce the contact of the softer compound with the road surface. That was all I thought. I'm probably completely wrong. Wrong way round.
Is nitrogen more or less susceptible than oxygen to pressure differential changes?
Yeah, but it'll react the same, won't it?
Right, Daz is telling me I've got it the wrong way round, but he's telling me that I've got it the same way as I've said. There's less air, so there's less downforce. That's what I said. Mm. And then when you said, why is DRS not working? I said, because there's less air. The air's less dense, so you get less downforce.
Less RV difference.
Yeah, but because your tyre pressure is the same as you pumped it up to on a gauge, the gauge would be registered at sea level, not at altitude. So the altitudinal pressure internally would then feel harder.
You would hope, though, they calibrate those gauges at the circuit.
Well, surely not, though, because the gauge will read whatever that current atmospheric pressure is, irrespective of altitude. If you pump the tyre up to, I don't know, 12 bar, and then brought it down to sea level, it would be a higher pressure. But it would still be 12 bar.
Unless they pumped them up before they went up there.
This is no,
no,
they would have.
No, no, because Pirelli would have
checked all this just when they were up there.
I probably
Paul Hembree was there, so I'm sure he would have.
I've been right about very little this year, so I'm taking that. I'm fine. Apparently, nitrogen's less susceptible to altitudinal change, says Mr. Jenkins in the chat room. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. There you go, Bagel Tech science or not? Actually, in the case that I'm concerned with. Can I just say
on a related note, we had 1,000 pit stops from Pirelli. We had a bunch of statistics, and we know that there were 1,111 pit stops.
Right.
Oh. Exactly.
That's a lot of sets of tyres.
Yes. Pirelli published loads of useful stats, and if you're a stats freak like I am, then
presumably that doesn't include drive throws and things like that.
No stops.
Yeah,
10.2 metric tons of rubber deposited on track during 2011. They calculated 21,100 dry tires and almost 2,900 wet. That's a lot.
How
of tires.
Many lockups and things like that? That would have made a difference as well. Left a lot more.
Flatting them.
It's incredible.
Did you notice Webber's last pit stop as well? When he came out, they went to the as he went in towards the turn, he looked like he was oversteering because he corrected and went the opposite way on the left-hand turn. He steered right briefly and wobbled a bit. And then they cut to the pit lane outfeed, and it was a long, long time before he came out. I was sitting thinking he'd stuffed it in the wall in the pit lane. My heart raced for a second. I thought, oh, Jensen might get second. But no, there you go. Any magic moments from the GP?
Yeah, I got a few actually.
Right, and Sarah, what's your magic moment, mate?
I enjoyed the Rosberg and Di Resta overtake that wasn't, and then overtake that happened when he actually did it properly.
Wasn't it
the second time around?
Di Resta.
Sorry?
Was it Sutil, not Di Resta, or am I thinking later in the race?
No, I think it's Di Resta. It was on lap 50.
Oh. There was a bit of to and fro with him, though, wasn't there, where he overtook him, then he didn't, and then he finally got it right.
Yeah. I might have got that wrong.
Sutil was overtaking Rosberg, and then Rosberg stayed on the inside and had his braking late and shut him out, but then Di Resta got him on the next... Sutil got him on the next lap.
Looking at the final positions, I think it must have been. Sutil
did keep it, didn't he, as well, at the end. You know, he came out of it ahead.
That's what I'm saying. Second, on exactly the same place on the next lap, he got it right. As if he'd learned from that, which I thought was good. I'm not going to mention the Button one because I saw somebody else will want to mention that. But I enjoyed Massa's donuts at the end as well, which I bet he got a slap on the wrist for.
Yep.
Have you heard anything about that, whether he has or not?
The donuts? No, I think I haven't heard anything at all.
Good.
It was good to see because you never normally see that on a racetrack.
Because was it Vettel did the same thing in Japan, apparently?
Really?
Yeah. Well, somebody did it in Japan after race, and it was only sort of... It didn't go on like the BBC feed. It went on the world feed, though.
Surely not the Terminator himself. He's a machine. He doesn't have fun.
He seems to have been enjoying himself for the last few races.
Oh, yeah. So,
he's got a bit of time off now.
He's had time to have fun and relax. Because he's always seemed relaxed, though, really, but relatively.
Good point from Russ. No one ever does bagels. They never do donuts. At the end.
That's true. We call them bagels.
We should call them bagels from now on.
Yeah.
Any other magic moments, Steve?
I'm going to use the chat room, actually. Is it Dazza?
Yeah.
Ronaldo's son at the beginning of the race, without being prompted. So, can we go home now? Before the race even started, it was brilliant. And Ronaldo's reaction was, "Who is this child?" Yeah, that was good. That was good. And also that on the actual race, when Button overtook Alonso, I think Alonso was on the ragged edge, and just as the camera cut off, you could see Alonso almost losing it after Button overtook him. That was lap a good 62. Battle between the two.
I got to say, that would be my magic moment, Button versus Alonso. I made a note at lap 60 and said, you know, this is starting to warm up now, because Button really closed in on Alonso. Webber did the fastest lap at 1:16:15 on lap 56. Button does 1:15:91, and then three laps later he's caught up to Alonso, and he takes Alonso two laps later.
Did you hear Jensen saying in the after show interview about that they'd said to him about doing 20 laps at qualifying speed, and they said, are you kidding? And that's how he caught Alonso.
Well, the other good thing about that pass is he didn't need to do it to secure second, did he? Was just purely for on-track position.
Yeah.
Button was also helped because Alonso's DRS failed.
It didn't open, did it, on the last few laps, yes.
But then Ferrari do seem to have had a problem before, because they've had it opening randomly in the wet and things like that, haven't they, as well?
Maybe that's what it was set for, random wet opening.
Yeah. Hey, it's an Italian car, eh? What are we doing?
I think we may have a title.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't, eh?
That's very good.
It's a no problem, eh?
Yeah. I did think he was good.
Hey, for sure, we make it a better car next year, eh? Yeah.
Random wet opening and golden helmets.
Oh, we got Stefano Domenicali.
Golden helmets. Yeah, I forgot that. Polishing the golden helmet.
And we got Christian Horner in the top left-hand corner.
I've just found one other thing that I wanted to get over, if I can.
Go on then.
Or do you want to come back to me?
No, go for it. Go on.
About the F1 next year going to Sky, I found a cheap way of supposedly seeing it officially and illegally. Just a quick question first. You know, on Sky Go, I think you use that, Ewan, don't you?
I do, and it's gorgeous.
So you can stream it directly to the iPad?
Yes.
Is that right? Does that work with linking it to the TV via Apple TV?
No.
It doesn't Airstream?
No.
Oh, what a shame.
Oh, that's a shame. Because I've got this, I'm going to credit here the forum that I've found it on. Where is it? Oh, blinking heck, I've lost it. There's one of the forums I've been reading that if you subscribe to Go service, the F1 channel is going to be included in that, and as a £35 a month fee.
Go's free.
Is that like with the HD service or the sports? Because it also comes with those, doesn't it?
But you can just subscribe to Go. So if you're not a Sky subscriber, then you can just do the £35 a month without anything else.
And that's the cheap option.
I was just,
yeah.
I think for £42 you get a basic package anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I kept hearing rumblings of something for like Top Up TV on Freeview, where it'd be like, that channel.
Yeah, I'd heard that. They're going to have a Freeview channel that shows other motorsports and then shows the F1 in full.
Yeah. Now that, £10 a month, that would be perfect for anyone who doesn't want to sign up to Sky to get that.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
We pay for Sky, but I mean, most of what we pay for Sky for is to get a lot of the kids' channels, so, because the kids like them.
But if you've got the HD and things like that anyway, or even the sports channels, you are getting it chucked in with those anyway, aren't you?
I like it when the rugby's on.
I can see me in a few months buying Sky HD, not having a TV to plug it into, but just having it for the online pass.
You can do, because it's HDMI, you can do HDMI to DVI out if you want.
Frankenstein set up into the computer.
Yeah, no, you
then
can
do that.
Then
it would work as the HDCP, would it? So,
As long as it's an HDCP compliant monitor, it would work. No, have you got a compliant monitor?
I do.
Right, well, stick
it
in that.
It's 19 inches, it's not really worth it.
Moving on.
Bugger it.
Right. Go on.
I know the monthly pass works out. It's £35 a month, £175 for all of the races if you do it like that.
Yikes.
versus the 363 versus, which is a normal year, I believe.
Versus the guy around Ewan's house.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to come round, mate.
That works. That works. I'll bring popcorn.
Sad part.
Now, I was thinking find a pub somewhere that's.
No, the sad part I've got is the fact that all year I've used Get iPlayer Automated to rip it down off iPlayer so I can watch it afterwards, ready to do the show, because I've got to watch very few live GPs this year, and that's going to be gone. So I'm going to have to try and record it.
Why didn't they show FP3 on the iPlayer? They had one and two on the iPlayer, no three. But they streamed it.
The internet doesn't come up with a solution.
No, I'd be surprised as well. But the problem that you've got is with Sky, I've got to watch it on the TV, and trying to get time on that television is just it's too hard. Which is where it was beauty, because I could just watch it in here on iPlayer. That's the only thing I'm going to miss.
It's such a cash cow. Hopefully they put it on the Sky Player or something.
Be nice. Be nice. I've got mobile, so I can watch it on here. It's fine.
So we still don't really know what the BBC are doing. I mean, there's been anything from extended highlights to full reruns.
We do know what the BBC are doing.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Because they've put a full schedule out. Yeah. I took the time to screen capture that so that everyone could see it. It's going to be on the BBC for 2012. They've got several of the Grand Prix. 10 of them have got full coverage. And then the rest are on highlights. So Australia, Malaysia are on highlights. Then China's a full live one. Bahrain's on highlights. And it's nice to see a lot of the European Grand Prix. Spain, Monaco are live. Valencia, Britain's live. Britain's especially nice at live. And Abu Dhabi as well.
At least Bahrain isn't such a loss.
No, I mean...
Canada. Looks like
but we're going to be a race short, because there's going to be no Austin. So we've been shortchanged.
Yeah, it looks like that's not going to happen.
Is it? Well, they're not finishing the track then?
No, there's been arguments. I've been talking to a friend of mine who lives out in Austin, who's been following it, and she said that apparently there's been arguments between the partners, which is causing issues, and that's why they've stopped actually building the track.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's a motocross track at the moment.
But it's something to do with the fees, apparently. One of the partners has said that they're not prepared to pay Bernie Eccleston's fees. And it's caused a dispute between the partners.
So you're not going to hold an F1 without paying them.
Yeah, I know.
It's Eccleston manoeuvring his way to a New York Grand Prix.
Yeah.
So we've got two more GPs, yes?
Sorry?
Well,
because wasn't there 18 this year?
No, 20.
Round 18, it said.
Yeah, we started. The US is the additional one.
Once you take out Bahrain, which we didn't have.
Oh, right, because that was removed. Yeah.
And if the US doesn't
happen... Yeah, that moved everything along, didn't it?
That did.
Yeah. If you take the US out, assuming it doesn't happen, then we've got the same as we should have had this year, including Bahrain.
But Bahrain should be back in.
Yeah.
You'd have thought that Bernie would have put in some sort of punitive measure for them, wouldn't you?
What, the... Bahrain?
For Bahrain, yeah, for not doing it.
Why? It was political unrest, you know.
No, I know, but...
Expect the teams to go there, not... In that situation, if you remember, they announced that it was going to be back on for when the Indian was, and they were going to move the Indian one, and all the teams basically said, "No, we're not going." So they said, "Okay, we won't go then."
Mm. Right then, the season in summary. What did we think? Good season, bad season?
Hang on, can I just give you my favourite moment?
Go on. Sorry, I didn't realise we. Yeah. Go ahead.
I am plus 10 laps, so I understand that. The best bit for me was in the forum. They sent Eddie Jordan in, and Domenicali was having his press conference, and he just goes, "Stefano, so what's the crack, Stefano?" And he's just nonplussed. He's like, "What are you doing?"
And then Whitmarsh is in there as well, wasn't he?
And then Whitmarsh is like, "Can I have a go as well?" It's fantastic because it's so cringeworthy. Eddie just doesn't care anymore. He's great. Yeah. He's like the old uncle of the paddock. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Mr. Inappropriate.
It's brilliant. Yeah, everyone's just crashed the Ferrari party. It's great.
And they're trying to be all serious now.
Ferrari actually sort of involved in my favourite moment, because it was good to see Massa leading his home race again, I thought.
Yeah.
Even if only for a few laps.
Two turns.
Yeah, I like Eddie Jordan. I think he's very, very good. Yeah. Hope he stays with the BBC.
I don't know if he's going anywhere anyway.
So. He's infuriated me at times, and him and DC were bickering a lot earlier on, but I think they seem to have gelled a lot better now.
Yeah.
Have
over a few shirts.
Yeah.
So what's the thoughts on the season then? I've got to say, out of all of the F1 seasons that I've ever watched, I thought this year's was probably one of the best, if not the best, because of the holistic nature of the fact that we got fantastic coverage on the BBC. You got the iPad application was absolutely brilliant, the timing app, and then the racing was good. There was passing. Yeah. The one thing that they've got to make sure they get is passing, because the reason that that F1 got boring through the 90s was just no one overtook anyone. It was all about pit stop strategy and nothing else.
Yeah, and the complaint has been raised this season of the flip side. There's too much, because it's people see it as artificial if it, under DRS and things like that. So it's getting the balance.
No, I'd say anything that promotes on-course passing is a winner. Definitely. That's what will improve this season over the rest. But I think it's been one of the best seasons ever. Anyone else?
Yeah.
It was like version 0.9 for me, but I'll you first.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think previously the strategies has meant that they've passed due to their strategy. So the pit stops or the fueling meant that they passed kind of in the pits or through general strategy. But this time, it's purely been overtaken on the track in terms of actual racing. Whether that's been helped in some way by KERS or DRS and also the tyres. But there has been some good sessions this year where you've got the driver catching up the car in front, which is, the tyres are decrepit, etc. Yeah. So I think it has been a good season. It would have been a lot better.
Strategy has still been in there, though, hasn't it, as well? I mean, especially in some of Button's races.
Yeah, but previously it was not as much of a result at the end. And it would have been better without the Mr. Vettel, but he has done exceptionally well.
He's been amazing. You have to give him credit.
Point in the chat room, wholeheartedly agree. Didn't mind Vettel sweeping it as well. It just wasn't as boring like the Schumacher years. Fair point.
Yeah. If he carries on, it will do. But the thing is, you have to remember, if McLaren had a better start to the season, it would have actually been a lot closer. Because as they pointed out before the race, if Button was to have won that race and Vettel fallen off the track, then Button would have actually won the second half of the season.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I'll agree with Mr. Jenkins in the chat room about is that I think Schumacher suffered a little bit, and this is no reflection on Schumacher, but I think he suffered a little bit because the whole of the race during that period of time was all about pit stop strategy, nothing else, and there was virtually no overtaking on the track, and that's when I switched off from watching. I wasn't interested when there was no on-track taking. Once that's come back in this year, I think that's what really has made it this year for me.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it's been that great for overtaking, though. I mean, that's what they've really used the DRS for, isn't it? Yeah.
So I think I preferred last year overall as a season, but this did come close to it.
Last year we did have
four drivers still in the hunt at the final race as well.
Yeah, I mean, if McLaren can get their act together and Mercedes up their game, it could be really interesting next season.
And Ferrari back into it as well.
Go ahead, Chris, you were about to say.
Well, next year is going to be great because they've lost the downward-firing blown diffusers. So they're going to have to rely more on mechanical grip. The engines are going to sound nicer as well. Finally, they're not going to spit their way around corners. The tyres are going to be softer, so they're going to degrade and fall off more quickly. So they're going to have to relearn again. Thank you, Pirelli. And a few new drivers in the mix. And so everyone's just going to be a little kind of tiptoe again.
And a few really old drivers as well, like De La Rosa.
I think the only thing that really disappointed me this year with the drivers, if you looked at the championship at the end, there was five drivers who'd got 200 points, then Massa had got 118, and then everyone else had got nothing. 35 was after that. And that's what's disappointing, is that you've got that little cluster at the top and there's no separation that's kind of like making it exciting.
They said that of the last 49 races, I think it was, there's only five drivers been on the podium.
Not good. Predictions?
One of my favourite things. Well done to everyone who bid for Eddie Jordan's shirt, who raised 107,000. And poor old Mr. Coulthard. So Eddie Georgian's shirt weighs 107,000. Coulthard's white jeans, £520.
That's probably why they didn't say anything then.
They probably cost more to buy than that, didn't they?
I bet they did, yeah.
And they had got, they still got the crap stains in it though from his deli belly.
After the dry cleaning job.
And when he got trapped in the pool at Monaco as well.
Yes. Right, predictions for next year then. Who's going to be F1 world champion at the end of the season? Driver champion. Steve?
I'd love it to be Button. I just think he's got a real sense of, I think, was it Eddie Jordan said during the weekend, this weekend, that he's, I see Sarah waving your hands, but no, I think Eddie Jordan said he's had a better season this year than his championship winning season when he had that special car. And if everything can come together for him next year, I just hope it's a real competition this time for first place.
And driver's championship for you, Steve?
Button.
No, he can't be. He's not a driver. Sorry, manufacturer's championship. My mistake.
You got to go some to get Red Bull off the top point, haven't you?
Yeah. So you're going to say Red Bull, Tony?
Yeah.
Driver's championship, Hamilton.
Yeah, I think it's Vettel or Button would be my picks for that. Alonso might get lucky.
Dude, the idea of this is that you pick one. You can't sit on the bloody fence, mate. Pick one. Who's going to win?
I hope Button, but I think Vettel.
Oh, head and heart. Manufacturer's Championship?
It'd be hard to bet against Red Bull again, you know, there, really.
Sarah?
I think because they've got the dream team and they've got Adrian Newey, I'd be tough to bet against Vettel and Red Bull.
Yeah. So you're saying
Adrian Newey is the bit that sets them apart, I think. Remember, just they've got Renault engines, which is what Renault have got, and you know they're showing that, you know, they can make more. And the only difference between that is okay, the gearbox and a few other bits, but it's what they actually do with the downforce on that car.
Yeah. And Chris?
Kovalainen and Caterham, because they're green. Racing green.
You got anything serious to say?
Well, it's going to be Red Bull again, isn't it? It's going to be much more closely fought, I think, next year. Because McLaren, I think one of the reasons McLaren suffered this year is because they were so busy in their MTC. They built their new road car and they were building a new facility, which they moved all their road car stuff into. And so now they're not cramped again. And I think literally it was cramping their style, which is one of the reasons they suffered so much pre-season and didn't get a good car developed. But now they've got space to themselves again. I think they can just focus on making a good Formula One car.
You got to admit,
it's iterative this year. They've got a good car already as a base and they've got to be much more closely formed.
It's not the kind of thing you'd expect to level at an F1 team while they're business sharing. Yeah, cutbacks.
I think
did you see the documentary?
No, I didn't see it.
I think it was the how to builder, and the first one was the sports car, and they went to McLaren because they're British. It's got to show British company.
Oh, was that the Richard Hammond thing?
No. It's the three-part thing. The second one was the A380 wing, and the third one was the satellite, satellite. The first one was the McLaren sports car, and they went into the MTC and you know, took video and stuff and showed the current working conditions, and Ron Dennis took them around the factory, and it literally was to the gills stuffed with things because they're trying to make a road production car. And their Formula One cars.
Something you don't think of in that place, is it? It being a bit...
Oh, that's the end of Tony. Never mind. I just say Ron Dennis just stepping over parts.
it did look pretty full. And you know how they love their white space in the MTC.
Yeah. Sarah, you were saying...
Like, you could tell he was twitching.
Just going back to the F1 Championship predictions for next year, can I just make one point that last year you had three teams fighting over it right to the end of the season, which obviously would have affected their development time into this season. This year, both titles have been settled a lot easier, a lot quicker, which means all the teams have got more time for development.
Yeah, I thought that was quite interesting.
I think it could make it a bit closer.
Well, that was my point. I was going to say was that if you look at the when things have happened, like someone's got a dink or something like that, you know, Widmarsh is very keen to see what happens, get the data from it, and then react to that. So on that basis, if they're willing to throw out a few curveballs and try something a little bit out the box, then they could probably come back and do quite well. So I'd love to see Button or Hamilton take it. Realistically, though, it's Vettel, Red Bull. This podcast and many others would not be possible without the fantastic support of UK2. We tell you on every podcast how much they help us, and it probably gets a bit boring for you guys listening to it, doing this 1 minute stint. But I mean, if all we have to do is give them 1 minute of our time, it's well worth it, because we really just wouldn't exist. It's as simple as that. We need you to support them. So if you want to buy a domain name, I'm not saying go and buy it and give it your Auntie Ethel just as a present and say, I've bought you grouchyoldgit.com. Do, if you need a web site or a domain or hosting or e-commerce or a VPS server or something like that, then go and check them out, see what their prices are like. Do bear in mind that if you sign up with them, you're going to get 15% off if you use your offer code BagelTech. If you're transferring the domain in, you need to use the offer code BagelDNS. You can use both of those codes, and that will generate for you a massive reduction in the total price. And at the same time, you will be helping us. So please go to BagelTechNews.com, use the click-through on our homepage. Even if you just sign in into your account, they'll know that we sent you back. And support UK2, because we'd be out of business without, and we'd be sitting doing this, and no one would be able to hear it, unfortunately. So please support them. They pick up all our bandwidth. We love them. Mm. Where can we get a hold of you, everyone? Steve?
I was just thinking, I've got my dad's Christmas present, yeah, so I could get my triple X domain website, couldn't I?
You're going to get him a triple X domain, grumpyoldgit.xxx. I'm sure he's going to be overcome with joy, mate. That and that crappy router.
I don't believe it.
ClothFedHQ on Twitter, and regular at the London Mac user group in London.
Are you getting outbid a lot at the moment?
What, on eBay?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all your listeners who just...
No, they found you.
Just a trail of random people high bidding on him.
I'm going to bid for Coulthard jeans. At least nobody wants those.
Tony, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
MightyHorse82 on Twitter.
Jolly good. Sarah, where can we get you, Mrs.?
At Sarah Jane UK on the Twitters.
Jolly good. And finally, Christopher W.
At Christopher W. And I've got to hijack quickly before we finish and say I have one more championship announcement to make, and that's the results of the 2011 for sure F1 championship. Yes, over the past year, I've been collating in every instance of when any person on TV on BBC coverage has said for sure. Or surely, you'll be surprised how many times this happens. And? Started last year. The results for last year are already up if you want to look at them. If you want to see the spreadsheet for this year, which is the final results as long as I've crossed the T's and carried the two, it's bit.ly/forsureF12011. And I can tell you that it is a commentator clean sweep this year. Martin Brundle has zoomed off with 29.63 instances of for sure.
How can he do it?
Surely counts as one third.
Where do you get the...
Ah, right, got you.
6-3, yeah.
Yeah. Closely followed by... not so closely followed, but followed by David Coulthard with 15.66, and then Eddie Jordan with 14.33. Honourable mention goes to Ratzia, if that's how you pronounce his name, in the last program. Five in one interview.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they do say that, though, don't they? The Continentals do go, where, for sure, yeah. For sure, innit?
For sure, yeah, and of course,
DC and Eddie are
continental accent.
Stock continental accent. That's nice. we have to give an honourable mention to Team Scuderia Ferrari for sure. They actually tied this year. Massa and Domenicali. Stefano Domenicali is the number one worst culprit for this, but I think the BBC just avoided him because they knew that he would win by default.
Right,
12 apiece. With Vettel on 8.
Mr. Jenkins is suggesting that you should collate the obviouslys as well.
Ooh.
That would be a tight run thing.
Perhaps. Right, you're going to have to pay for my subscription to this Sky thing next year so I can keep doing this.
I've got to say, actually, my continental accent now, all I try and do is Henning Venn all the time because he's just brilliant. Love him. What a great accent.
I have to say, I think we could have the team principals on here because Chris did a cracking Italian accent, so it could be Stefano. And Steve's Christian Horner earlier on was blinding, I thought.
Not bad at all.
It was impressive because it was actually Chris's.
And Chris, you'll be doing Bagel Tech nonsense again on Saturday.
Oh, yes. Excellent. Hopefully, I'll be interrupted again.
No mad caller.
Baby caller.
And hopefully, the amount that's discussed on pepper spray will be less than 40 minutes.
Or at least with not so many pictures.
But I'm well aware of the fact that some of that time was taken up with your lady caller.
Yeah, and some of that, look, to be fair, some of that was cross promotion.
to be fair, some of that was 40 minutes of pepper spray discussions. Anyway.
You can never get too much pepper spray.
Oh, you can always get too much. We're doing too much pepper spray now while we're talking too much pepper spray already. We'll be back again on March the 19th. I know already. Got it in the diary for the Melbourne GP. Some of us will have watched the highlights. Some of us will have watched all of it. See you next time.